Hello and welcome to Ag PhD Radio, broadcasting from the Morton Studio today. I'm Darren Hefty. We're going to be talking about soybean fungicides and insecticides just as planting's getting going in the northern part of the country. So we'll talk about specific fungicides, insecticide strategies, and just some of the key points to know. We'll also be taking your calls and agronomic questions at 844-44-AG-PHD, or you can email us radio@agphd.com. All right, let's start off with fungicides and insecticides here a little bit, and there's a big difference. Of course, fungicides are going to fight fungal diseases, not bacterial diseases, but fungal diseases. And then insecticides are used to stop insects, not mites. And there's just a number of things there that we can get into, and also not nematodes. So let's talk about this. We're mainly looking at foliar and some of the choices that you've got here. First of all, we strongly recommend regularly scouting your fields. We recommend utilizing satellite imagery and other sources. Maybe you've got drones, that type of thing, to do some scouting for you or to help direct where your scouting is going to be. So if you notice something that shows up that's unusual on maps, and for us, we're looking at satellite imagery each week, and we can look at all of our fields very quickly that way and then target, okay, here's something that changed from last week, or here's something that looks off. What can we do to find out what's out there while it's drive out there, walk out there, whatever the case may be. And scouting for bugs is very effective. You can scout, you can run a sweep net, you can observe how many bugs are out there, see if that meets a threshold for that stage of growth, and you can treat. With disease, though, doesn't quite work that way. Once you see disease out there, chances are it's already been in the plant for at least a week or two, and you've kind of missed your window. Now, can you stop it from getting a lot worse? In a lot of cases, I would think you can, but you've already lost some yield there. I would argue you've already lost some yield in a lot of cases with insects, but many of them are just leaf feeders, and on soybeans, you can lose a lot of leaf material, especially early in the season, and not really see a big difference in terms of yield. We'll continue discussing soybean fungicides and insecticides, but I want to jump onto the phone lines here. We've got Clinton on with us right now down in Nebraska. How are you doing, Clinton?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you doing?
Good, good. What can we do for you?
Well, I got some winter rye that I planted on some bean ground on some hilly, just only about 10 acres last fall, and then we kind of pastured it off, and we're going to plant it to corn this spring here, and I was wondering what's the best way to terminate that, if I should spray it, or can I get by cultivating it, or what do you think?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, you got a lot of different options. Do you intend to do tillage anyway?
I'll probably hit it with the field cultivator, I imagine. I don't know how rough it is. I don't think it's too rough from the cows on there. We might be able to go right in it, but I was wondering if we should spray it ahead or spray behind the planter.
Are you going to plant a corn hybrid that will be able to tolerate a Roundup application in season?
Yeah, I'm sure it is. It's a Monsanto.
Trait. Sure, sure. Well, you know, you can certainly try the tillage at this point. If you think everything will flow through and you're planning on doing some tillage anyway, you can certainly do tillage, wipe out most of it, and if anything comes through, the Roundup will clean it up in crop. If you wanted to burn it off, you sure can. How tall is it? You said you grazed it down. Is it less than 6 inches tall?
Yeah, it's probably about that right now. It's probably about like what winter wheat would be, I guess.
Okay.
It's I haven't been really out on it too much, but it's on pretty much on clay hillsides and stuff. And
sure. I know the university work that's been done has shown if you've got less than 18 inch tall cover crop, you really don't have to burn it off before you put on your pre-emerge herbicide and that type of thing. But I guess I'm fine either way. If you want to burn it off, you sure can. Roundup's not super expensive, but it's going to take a pretty good rate to kill a winter crop like that. So you could do that, or you could say, well, I'm going to do tillage anyway. Let's just give that a shot, and I can always come back with some Roundup in crop. That's what I would do if it was mine.
Okay. What are you talking about for rate for if like behind the planter or what? I think we're going to use them tri-volt and 8-track or something. And then we'll probably, if we just put the Roundup in with that.
Sure, sure. Yeah, I would run at least a quart. And if you can get it on a nice warm day, we got some coming up here that are supposed to be up into the 80s. That would be a great time to get it done. So, yeah, if you could time that out where you get nice warm weather, I think you'll do well. I think you'll do well.
Okay, you think water, we'll probably be planting about in 2 weeks here, but I don't know, one pass, well, I don't want to lose too much moisture if I can help, but with one pass with the steel cultivator, take care of that pretty well.
I think if you get after it now before it's too big and it flows through the machine really well, I think you'll do pretty good on it too. That's what I would try if it was me. I mean, if you can do it, if you're way too hilly and you're like, nah, I just can't do that on the hills. I need to be running right behind with the planter or something, then you could sure do the burn down instead.
Yeah. Okay, that's what I'll do then. Well, we're getting a few showers here, but nothing very exciting. So, okay, I'll give that a shot.
All right. Sounds great, Clinton. Thank you for the call. Really appreciate it.
Yep. Thank you.
You bet. Our phone lines are open throughout the show today at 844-44-AG-PHD, and you can always email us radio@agphd.com with questions as well. We're talking soybean fungicides and insecticides on today's show. Getting a lot of discussion around this with some of the rebate programs as well. A lot of guys looking at some different products out there. We'll discuss all that coming up right after this.
Farming comes with trade-offs. An extra pass means dinner in the cab. An early morning becomes a late night. Unnecessary restrictions turn into headaches. But when you make Enlist herbicides the foundation of your herbicide program, the trade-offs will be in your favor. Effective weed control that's ready to work when you are. Flexible tank mix options and neighbor-friendly applications, all without the need to jump through hoops. See what you'll gain with America's most trusted herbicide system protecting your Enlist E3 soybean fields at Enlist.com.
During the Go Green, Save Green event at C&B, you'll save plenty on John Deere riding lawn equipment. Save on select S and X Series lawn tractors, plus Z-Track Zero Turns. Visit C&B at DeereEquipment.com.
From machine storage buildings and farm shops to dependable buildings to house your livestock, regardless of building size or use, Morton has a building for every budget. To learn how we can help you expand your farm operation, visit MortonBuildings.com.
On your farm, you spend thousands on fertilizer every season. But how do you know if any nutrient you apply is paying for itself? Build a fertility plan like never before with Verify. With Verify's soil point to yield analysis, you can automatically see the connection between your soil test and yield data to see which fertilizer dollars will make you money and which won't. Go to verify.com to get started today. That's VRAFY.com.
Maverick Corn Herbicide from Valent USA has proven to be a key part of growers' success in fighting problematic weeds. But don't take it from us. Take it from agronomy manager Nate Honeck.
We've seen tremendous weed control that was sprayed in dry, hot conditions with very little rain within 2 weeks after application. Very easy application. Definitely tank mix well with the various products we used.
Visit Valent.com/Maverick to learn more about Maverick Corn Herbicide. Always read and follow label instructions.
Well, Welcome back. You're listening to Ag PhD Radio. Boy, the microphone works so much better when I press the on button. All right. Hopefully everything else goes smoother with the show today. We're talking about soybean fungicides and insecticides, and we welcome your calls and questions at 844-44-AG-PHD. Got Mike Probst with us right now with BASF. Mike, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing all right. Don't beat yourself up. Even after a few years after COVID, we still get some people been forgetting about that mute button. So don't worry.
Good call. All right. So we're talking about soybean fungicides and insecticides. Let's talk about fungicides here just a little bit. And I was mentioning to start the show off that it's really hard. It's easy to scout for bugs. You find the bugs. You can spray for the bugs. No problem. Disease, we kind of need to do some planning on that one. Talk us through. We get a lot of guys that'll say, well, I'm planning for plant health benefits and disease may or may not come depending on the year. And other guys say, no, I have disease all the time and here's my timings that are working. What do you find is a good place to start?
Yeah, you know, the trouble with scouting for disease, what I always tell people is that when we know what we know about diseases, which is by the time you actually see them, they've been there for anywhere from a week to maybe even 2 weeks. Unfortunately, by that time, we're already behind the eight ball. And so it's very, I like to relate it to weed control. Honestly, I think that's something that people understand, that we want to try to stay ahead of those weeds and try to prevent them if possible. I think that's a similar mentality that a lot of folks are starting to learn we need to take with fungicides, because if you let those diseases get a foothold, it can be a lot more difficult to control them. And so that's more important in areas for those folks like you mentioned that are more prone to get diseases, or that's a yearly thing, or even in some of those areas where they see more of those plant health benefits, but the potential for disease is still out there. Being proactive is always going to be the best approach.
Yeah, that's for sure. And the one question that I get a lot from guys that are hitting some really high yield numbers is, okay, I think I've got this thing figured out in the reproductive stages. We've got a lot of stress on the plant, and plant health is really important. Disease can also strike at that time. Reproductive stages, a lot of guys feel pretty good. How about in the vegetative stages? Is it worth putting a fungicide out there? I don't know any company that's done more work on plant health than BASF, so I think you're the right guy to ask this, Mike.
You know, Darren, that's a good point. And we have done some work with that. And my advice, based off of what we have done and the kind of the data that I have seen, is it's not something that I would make a part of my plan year in and year out. We have done some testing on vegetative stage applications. We've even done some testing right around that R1 stage where, you know, we start to see that first flower with the thought that maybe providing some plant health benefits right around that period when we're getting our maximum amount of sunlight during the year might provide a benefit. Unfortunately, the results have been scattered at best. More often than not, we're probably expecting to not see a response out of that. So we have seen some instances where we're in some high stress situations. For example, I have seen some instances the last couple years where some folks have thrown in a plant health fungicide like a Revitec or a Preaxor, or even just a straight headline in some of those vegetative stages where their soybeans have faced some pretty severe drought symptoms. And visually, we've seen a really noticeable response in terms of how they handle some of that stress. But my advice would not be to make it a part of your year-in and year-out plan. That might maybe be a little bit more of a reactive application, just depending on the conditions that you're facing.
Okay, good point. And yeah, I kind of agree with you. If it's a drought stress, there's a lot of these proven plant health properties of certain fungicides that really could help a plant through that time. I mean, obviously, rain would really help, but keeping that crop canopy a little bit cooler, antioxidants, I don't know, just a number of those things could be helpful at that point. That's why I think a lot of guys have looked at that or at least considered that. All right, talk to us about, you know, making the choices, because there are so many different products out there, and there's two mode of action products, three mode of action products. How do we sort through all that?
I think it depends on what it is that you're facing with your crop. I know that we've got some three mode of action products out there. We've got one, for example, Revitec has three different modes of action. But we do know that all those different active ingredients and things like that, not necessarily created equal. And it depends on, you know, like you mentioned when we started talking, is you get some of those scenarios where you're facing maybe more heavy disease pressure. Make sure that one of those active ingredients is really, really good at controlling diseases. That's where we see a really big advantage, for example, from Revitec with that Revisol technology in there. That's excellent at disease control. And so where we see more disease or where it shows up more consistently, we see a greater benefit out of that. If you're in an instance where maybe you're further north in the Corn Belt, where you don't have nearly as much disease year in and year out, but that plant health benefit is still helping you out, then maybe you don't need nearly as much that that high disease control active ingredient in there, and you're focusing on the ones that are going to provide that plant health. So I don't know that there's a right or wrong answer in all of these situations. It's very situational, depending on what your expectations are and what history tells you that your soybean crop is going to face that year.
When it comes to fungicide use, a lot of farmers say, well, I would love to just pick up one product that I can use on corn and soybeans. Is there a huge difference with a lot of these products that, boy, this should really be used on soybeans and there's something that's dramatically better on corn, or are there several good choices out there that could be used on both?
You know, we get that question a lot, especially more recently here with the launch of our Veltima and Revitec that both have Revisol in them. And so we do get that request a lot of times of folks looking for one option for both of their crops. And that is something that both of those provide, is a level of simplicity that either Veltima or Revitec can be used on either corn or soybeans. And so if that's a priority, that is something that is an option. But I will say our data does show that there is a noticeable advantage of using, for example, Revitec in soybeans versus Veltima. Now, Veltima is not a bad choice, but we do see a little bit of a stair-step improvement when using Revitec in soybeans. It probably does relate back to that third mode of action that's in there, that Xemium technology that's picking up some additional disease control. Versus in corn, we see both of those products tend to behave very similarly, and so maybe not quite as much of an advantage of using one over the other. So it does depend on priorities, but if you want to focus strictly on which one is the most likely to drive your yields the highest, for example, in soybeans, I think that one is going to be Revitec.
Okay, one last thing, getting to application. I would say, I guess my observation just driving around is, I see a lot of sprayers going really fast out in the field. I would love it if guys could slow down just a little bit. And I understand they got a lot of acres to cover and not a lot of great hours to do it. Can you offset some of that with gallons and with droplet size? Or if you're going 15 miles an hour, we're just never going to do a great job.
I don't want to say that we can't do a great job, because, you know, our application success is a combination of a lot of things, right? It's your sprayer speed, it's your nozzle choice, it's your pressure and orifice size and things like that. So I'm with you. I would like to see them slow down a little bit. Just I think it adds an additional level of consistency. But if we're using the right nozzles for the speed that we're going and for the gallonage that we are using, I think we can still make a good application. So I don't want to say that it's you know, not going to work. But I will say, you know, you mentioned increasing gallonage. I don't think that's ever a bad idea personally. And that's one of the things that I tend to recommend pretty quickly to try to drive that increased coverage, try to drive canopy penetration, is to maybe bump up from a 10 to a 15, or if you're at 15, maybe bump up to a 20. So I personally don't like to see anything less than 15 gallons per acre, but going up is just going to drive that coverage even more.
I agree. And the other thing that we talk about a lot is, on the best days, spray the fields that it's the most important to get sprayed. And on the fields where you just don't have many problems, save those for the kind of questionable days. Hey, Mike, thank you so much. Really appreciate having you on. Stay tuned.
My mom's got a new Case IH tractor, and it can do it all. Bale hay all day. See in the dark with its powerful LED lights. hook up all the implements, shift like a race car, steer with ease. And it can also cool my juice box. Yeah, her Case IH tractor can do everything she needs it to.
Looking for a tractor that can do it all? Check out caseih.com.
The hardworking, independent spirit of rural America can often be isolating. It's not often discussed, but mental health issues are real. Now's the time to lead by example, talk openly, and show that a strong mind is just as important as a strong body. FMC is proud to be working toward ending the misconceptions around mental health. Through awareness, guidance, and action, together we can uproot the stigma.
Warning, high yields incoming. Upgrading your planter with Germinator closing wheels can increase your corn yields by 13 bushels in no-till and 7 bushels in conventional. Are your bins ready? Call Farm Shop MFG at 712-520-6051.
Get more durability for less downtime with Soil Warrior Strip Tillage from Environmental Tillage Systems. Improve fertilizer efficiency and reduce passes and fuel usage. Now that's ROI. Learn more about ETS at soilwarrior.com.
Every season, you're collecting yield data on virtually every acre of your farm. But what good is your data if you never use it? Put it to work with Verify. Verify takes yield data directly from your combine and instantly generates variable rate fertility maps based on crop removal, ensuring your crops get what they need, right where they need it, no matter what equipment you run. Go to verify.com to find an expert to help you get started. That's VRAFY.com.
It's smart to make the right agronomic choices, and it's even smarter to get rewarded for them. With the Bayer Plus Rewards program, you earn cash back on seed, herbicides, and other eligible products. And it keeps getting smarter, because now you can earn an additional 10% bonus when you send your redemption check to your retailer. To learn more, contact your retailer today. Protect your yields and get the most from your land with Bayer Plus Rewards. Visit mybayerplus.com and see program terms and conditions for full details.
Maverick Corn Herbicide from Valent USA has proven to be a key part of growers' success in fighting problematic weeds. But don't take it from us. Take it from farmer Rob Schaefer.
Residuals have become a big part of our chemical programs with trying to battle water hemp, and also mare's tail is our big one. It's done a real good job of controlling those. You don't have to, you know, put a bunch of gallons in your sprayer, cover a lot of acres that way.
Visit Valent.com/Maverick to learn more about Maverick Corn Herbicide. Always read and follow label instructions.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ag PhD Radio. We're broadcasting from the Morton Studio today, taking your calls and questions at 844-44-AG-PHD, or you can email us radio@agphd.com. Talking soybean fungicides and insecticides today, and real happy to have Jeff Moon with us with Corteva Next. How you doing, Jeff?
Hey, Darren, I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on today.
All right, soybean fungicide and insecticide time will be here before we know it. When I was coming up, I remember a lot of times my dad, we didn't have the greatest seed treatments in those days, and we didn't have an insecticide on the seed. So when the beans were just getting going, we would a lot of times see bean leaf beetles already starting to attack our beans in the cotyledon stage or the unifoliate stage. And so, I mean, scouting started almost immediately after planting. For bugs, what's changed, and why are we not out there quite as often as we used to be, at least early season? Is the insecticide on the seed treatment that good?
Well, I think those insecticides could be having an impact, but I think there's probably some environmental things that are going on too, right? I mean, every year is a little bit different, how those insects develop, when they become a problem, what they might be overwintering on. You know, the previous crop, I think all those things play a part in there as far as the development of those insects go. And then I also think maybe, Darren, some of it might have to do with, you know, just what kind of a season we're having. If we're having, and I'm using air quotes here, but if we're having kind of a normal season, we're getting some good rainfall, the crop is developing well, we might not notice some of those things when they show up versus when the crop is struggling more and then you add another problem to it, and all of a sudden it starts showing up. So I think all those things might be contributing to that.
Yeah, I know the vegetative stages until we get to the end of June and after summer solstice, it's pretty much scouting for bugs. Haven't seen a lot from fungicide applications. We were just talking with Mike Probst with BASF, and he said they've seen a little bit in extreme drought, but very inconsistent results with fungicide use in the vegetative stages. Would you say that's a fair comment, and would you say it's mostly bugs here for the next couple of months?
I think I would agree with both of those things. It seems like those fungicides are a little bit later on in the season. The insects likely are going to show up first. You mentioned bean leaf beetle. You know, that's one that can pop up on us and cause some trouble a little bit earlier in the season. You know, obviously aphids are out there on the horizon at some point. They typically are. Those pockets move around a little bit, but I think you're spot on there. The insect problems are things probably to keep an eye on a little bit earlier. Again, dependent upon what our environmental conditions are.
And I know you get a lot of questions about this, but without Lohr's ban, there's a lot of nervousness about there. Guys relied on that chemistry for a long time, but there are some different modes of action out there. There are some newer products, and to me, that's exciting. It gives us some new opportunities to do some things in the field. What do you say for the guy that says, oh boy, what do I do now? I lost Lohr's ban.
Yep, and you know, there's a lot of noise around that one, and I still think a lot of uncertainty around that one, too. It's made the news here lately with some court rulings, but we just don't know how that's all going to unfold, and so people almost need to think about that as that's not an option. I've got to think of something else. We have a product, we have a couple of them that we sell, Transform and Ridgeback. Transform is very focused on piercing and sucking insects, which aphids would be. Ridgeback is more of a broader spectrum, kind of like Lohr's ban or cobalt that we sold in the past would have been. And so if you're running into bean leaf beetles or Japanese beetles or if soybean aphids show up or even spider mites for that matter, Ridgeback is a more broad spectrum insecticide. It has a new active ingredient in it that the bugs maybe haven't, you know, been exposed to as much here in the last couple of years. We kind of mourn the loss of what we had, but we also know that we've got some products that are here and maybe some more that are coming down the line that'll help us address these pest issues. But you probably need to make a plan that doesn't include a chlorpyrifos-based product at this point.
Yeah, I know our neighbors just east of us over in Minnesota that have had some pyrethroid-resistant aphids have spoken so highly of Transform. They've really liked it. And the other thing they rave about is the beneficials, that it left the beneficials alone and the aphids are completely gone, like the best aphid control they've ever seen. So that's kind of nice. And I know it costs a couple bucks more than what you would have spent on Lohr's ban, but man, if you can do those two things, that sure helps us if you ever have another flush.
You bet. That helps a lot. And again, those are the benefits of some of these newer products. They might be a little bit easier on the beneficials that are out there, but still highly potent against the bugs that you're having a problem with. And it's nice to be able to work for a company that's investing in these things and doing some of this work and then coming up with solutions that we can take out to the growers for this very instance. I think that's a nice spot as a company to be in, you bet.
Well, aphids have certainly been one of the tougher bugs. On the disease side, just to flip for a second, we can go back to bugs more if you'd like, but you've got kind of an exciting new product for us for Sclerotinia white mold control. I'm hearing a lot of buzz about Viatude out there. Talk to us about that one.
Yeah, Viatude, we had some of it out last year. I think this year, you know, we've got more gallons available. We've got a little bit more experience with it. We understand a little bit more how it works, but it's a combination of a couple of different active ingredients, picoxystrobin, strobilurin-based product, and then prothioconazole. So we put those two active ingredients together, and we come up with something that does a good job on a number of diseases, but I think really does a great job when it comes to white mold. And it's hard to predict when we're going to have a white mold problem, right? I mean, even last year, as dry as it was in some spots, we got some moisture at just the right time, or maybe I should say just the wrong time. And it surprised us with where some white mold showed up. And that's a real concern, you know, across the Corn Belt, but primarily, you know, a little bit further north in the Corn Belt, we've seen a pretty consistent pressure from white mold. and it can be very devastating. And so we've got a solution here that we can talk to folks about and that they can use on their farms and be confident that what they're putting out there is going to do a good job for them on that white mold issue.
Yeah, and it's not just a one-trick pony. It's got a lot of other diseases, right, too. But like you say, the white mold is something that really differentiates that product from other ones out there on the market. When do you like to see that, Jeff? Do you like to start right at R1? And then, if so, how often do we need to be retreating for white mold? I've seen some data recently that suggests maybe as often as every 7 days, because the beans are just consistently putting on more flowers and having more exposure.
Yep. So certainly that R1 time frame is kind of the place to look at it. Maybe late-ish R1, but certainly an R1 is where we want that first application to take place. And again, you're not going to see white mold at that point. This is kind of a preventive thing. We've got to get it out there before the disease develops. And so if you had beans in this field a couple of years ago and you've got a history and you kind of know what went on there, those are the spots that we want to make sure we take care of. So R1-ish. And certainly then again, we think another application would be necessary probably by R3. Could be a little sooner, like you talked about, with the aggressive growth that we're seeing. But two shots of a fungicide consistently outperforms a one-shot scenario. One shot is better than nothing, but two is going to outperform one. And so that's what we would recommend with Viatude.
Yeah, we always talk about if you're going to protect a plant, you have to cover the part of the plant that you want to protect. And it's not like,
correct,
oh, these products don't have good residual. No, they do have decent residual for fungicides. It's just there's new leaves and there's new flowers. So we need to do a good job covering. And then the other thing that I like at R1, a lot of times we haven't got full canopy. You can still really get good coverage on that whole plant. And that seems to be an advantage of getting started early. I know a lot of times guys will say, well, I'd like waiting till R3 to spray. Not if you've got white mold, because it's going to be really tough to get that under part of the canopy covered well. So lots of things to consider there if you're spraying a fungicide or even the insecticide too, just trying to make sure you do the best job that you possibly can. Hey Jeff, thank you so much. We really appreciate it. Also thanks for bringing new modes of action and new products in the pipeline. I know there's going to be a lot more coming up in the next few years too.
You bet. Good to be with you today, and thank you for your time, and wish everybody a safe spring out there as they get to work.
You bet. We'll talk more about soybean fungicides and insecticides coming up right after this.
If you look close enough, you can see the hidden potential within your fields. That's why an agro-liquid nutrition plan starts with the crop and identifies the precise combination of primary nutrients while focusing on the support of secondary and micronutrients. So every nutrient is working in harmony for your crop to reach its full potential, maximizing growth while offering lower use rates. Apply less, expect more? Precisely. Find an agro-liquid dealer at agroliquid.com.
Nothing but net. Win your soybean season with the fast knockdown and lasting broad-spectrum control of Elevest Insect Control from FMC. Take on armyworms, stink bugs, soybean loopers, and more with the maximized ratio of premier active ingredients for better overall control of more than 40 labeled pests. Visit your FMC retailer or elevest.ag.fmc.com to up your game this season. Always read and follow all label directions.
Weeds rob you of yield potential, so rob them of the chance to grow with powerful corn herbicide solutions from Corteva Agriscience. Weeds won't know what hit them, but you will, because you can count on proven top herbicides like Resicor or SureStart 2 or the new game-changing herbicide Cairo to effectively control weeds. That way, you spend less time worrying about unwanted yield-robbing weeds and have more time to power on with your day. Learn more at PowerOverWeeds.com.
Your farm's greatest challenge is making sure your crop has enough fertility to reach its yield goals. But how do you know if you're applying too much of any one nutrient? Fine-tune your fertility plan with Verify. Your combine collects hundreds of yield data points per acre. Verify takes that data and instantly generates variable rate fertility maps based on crop removal, so you can be confident you're not over-applying. Get started today at verify.com. That's V-R-A-F-Y.com.
When it comes to fungal diseases like soybean white mold and SDS, you know how devastating yield loss can be. That's why you work with your seed dealer to find the best genetics for your farm. Did you know you can bring forward the defensive traits of those genetics with a seed treatment? Heads up, a biological plant activator primes your seed to turn on its natural defense against disease. This spring, take your yields to the finish line. Ask your seed dealer for a Heads Up seed treatment.
Morton Buildings has served the American farmer for more than 120 years. From manufacturing our own building components to constructing your building, Morton takes pride in being the industry leader in post-frame construction by providing a quality building and exceptional customer service. A Morton is built to last for generations. To get started on your next project, please visit MortonBuildings.com.
Listening to Ag PhD Radio. Thanks for joining us today. We've been talking about soybean fungicides and insecticides. We're going to dive into the Ag PhD mailbag here in just a minute. If you've got any questions, our phone lines are open, 844-44-AG-PHD. Also, you can email us, radio at agphd.com. Brian's doing a little traveling today, and still's got a minute to take a couple of questions here. How you doing, Brian?
Great.
All right. I had one that came in today, and this one came in from Evan. He said, "Hey, guys, I'm curious, could Anthem Max, which contains Cadet and Zidua, could that be mixed with Valor and used pre-emerge on soybeans, or is that too much PPO?"
Okay. So what we always have to do when we have a pre-mixed product like Anthem Max is say, what is in there? And when I look at that particular one, I say, all right, the main thing that I got that I'm concerned about is the Cadet. That's the PPO he's talking about. Otherwise, we're talking Group 15. So am I worried about Cadet and its little bit of residual hurting Valor? Probably not. But I guess my question is, why are we doing this? So with the Cadet in there and the Anthem Max, the main purpose is burn down. But you've already got a PPO doing some burn down. And even if I have both of those PPOs, probably still not quite enough. So I would just question, why am I doing this? And what am I spending dollars on? So I don't know. I mean, if it's me, what I like to do with the Anthem Max is spray it post-emerge. I'd rather see you do the Valor pre. Let's say you put Valor together with Metribuzin. I mean, I always like it also with a yellow. But let's just say you did Valor Metribuzin pre, and then you come post-emerge with the Anthem Max. Well, now I'm a lot happier because now I feel like I get more value out of the Anthem Max because I can burn down more things post-emerge. And then I've split things up with the PPO, so I have zero worries. I don't think I have a lot of worries anyway, but nevertheless. I just feel more comfortable if I split them, but I think you're probably okay to do it. As we always say, though, on the show, I'd rather be safe than sorry, so I'd try it on a few acres before I go nuts, but I don't think you're going to see a lot of problem there.
All right. Thanks for the question, Evan. Got multiple questions here from Scott, and I'll just throw them one at a time at you here, Brian. Scott said, first of all, I've got a farm that has a really good landlord, but she's getting up there in age. So I'm just wondering, do you have a good resource for land rent contracts to protect your long-term fertilizer applications?
No, I don't. I don't know. I've never seen anything like that. Now, there probably is some stuff out there. I just haven't seen it. So I can't give you a whole lot of help on that. But let's put it this way. I would just put on paper whatever I'm concerned about and then just start to think that through. But here, and then you hopefully can get your thoughts together when it comes to this conversation. Because here's what I found in most conversations with landlords I've ever had. Whatever my idea is, they always want to tweak it. They always want something different. And so I'd approach them about, here are my concerns. I want to do right for your ground, and I don't want your ground to be depleted or anything like that. But on the flip side, I need to some degree protect myself because this stuff is really expensive. And just have an honest and upfront conversation with the landlord, and eventually, hopefully, you arrive at a really good solution.
Okay. Next question that Scott's got. He said, why do you guys not like spring soil testing, or did I get that wrong? Or are you just fine with it?
No, I mean, spring soil testing is great. It's just that I like fall soil testing if I can get it done, because then I have 6 more months to work on whatever my fertility plan was and think about all the things and have all the data. Because let's be honest, when spring hits and you're going to soil test, you got to roll. So you do not have much time to make decisions. You don't have time to talk to several fertilizer applicators about, well, what would your price be and what would your price be? You don't have time to run it past other fertility experts or your friends or anybody else you trust to say, hey, what do you think of this plan? I'm thinking of doing this. So basically what happens a lot of times with spring soil sampling is you're running with the same old person, the same old plan, and you're probably going to get, unfortunately, the same old results. So that's the only thing I would say. But there's nothing wrong with doing soil testing in the spring, just, I mean, as it stands on its own.
Yeah, and that spring soil test, let's say it even happens after planting, that's the first time you get a chance to do it. It could direct your fall applications. Maybe it's going to help you direct where you're going to put lime on after this crop, or if you need a large rate build. That's the one thing I like about fall testing. If I say, man, I am really dramatically low in P and K on some new ground I picked up, I got a chance to do that in the fall with a lot more degree of safety than if I put that out at the last minute in the spring. So,
yeah. But here's the problem is if you're now talking, so Darren, you're talking about something completely different than I am. I'm all for spring soil testing if I'm going to make changes with my spring plans. If I'm going to make changes for my fall plans, I don't like it. I'd rather test in the fall, do whatever it is in the fall, because in the meantime, you have crop removal and organic matter release and all kinds of things.
Yep, that's for sure. Okay, another question Scott has, and he's got two more here coming up. But he said, okay, I've got heavy applications of manure I've made for multiple years on some ground, and I'm not really seeing big gains on my soil tests. And I heard a guest, I think it was back in late February on your show, talking about legacy fertility. Is there a way that I could test something in the soil more than just a regular soil test to see what's out there and maybe when it could come available?
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't know that I have a good answer for that, though.
I wonder, Brian, if it would be a carbon to nitrogen ratio test. Because I think back like Francis Childs, when they basically had a manure dumping ground for many years, he had to over-apply N for a number of years to start breaking all that carbon down, and then nutrients really started coming available for him.
Maybe, but you don't know how nutrient-rich that carbon is. That's part of the problem. So I unfortunately don't have a great answer for you. I don't know. But I would say this. We're really mainly talking about nitrogen. I mean, yes, there's a little bit that's going to come out of some of those other, there's a little bit of other nutrients that are going to come out of, that's going to come out of that manure. But it's mainly the nitrogen. So what I'm sure he's talking about here is P and K. Well, most of P and K is already done. That's already out there first year. So if it's not building on his soil test, that tells me that he's pulling great crop off, pulling a lot of nutrients out, and this is the same conversation we have with commercial fertilizer. A lot of people think, oh, I'm applying enough in my corn to feed my beans. And I look at the numbers and I go, well, wait a second. You're pulling tremendous grain off for corn and for beans. You're falling behind. So I don't know. I'd like to know yield goal, see the manure application or the manure test, and just see, are there actually enough nutrients there that we should be building?
Yeah, we'd like to see those manure tests, Scott, and then also your application rates and average yields, those kinds of things. And then the last question Scott's got, he said, I was told that composting wood chips, I use them as bedding outside beef cattle under feeding areas. I've heard that composting the wood chips, that it's acidic. And in the first year, I'm wondering, could I use that material to lower my pH? I've got areas that are above 7.3.
I seriously doubt that. I mean, you'd have to have a crazy amount. And then when you do that, you might have other issues with tie up of nitrogen and things like that. I don't think so. Let's look at why your pH is high in the first place. Let's see what is the problem out there. Look at the balance in the soil. Let's fix the balance, and then the pH should fall in line.
Yeah, there's a lot that goes into why pH can be up. It just indicates an imbalance in nutrients in your soil, and if we can figure out which nutrients are too high, which nutrients are too low, we can prescribe which nutrient applications could help start turning things around. And then, of course, if there's a drainage issue out there too that's limiting some of those nutrients that would normally flush out, that could be an issue too. But again, Scott, we'd love to see soil tests, love to see your manure analysis, and we could probably better help with some of these questions too. We'll be right back with more of the Ag PhD Mailbag after this.
Get uniform control in your fields with trusted, hardworking Lucento fungicide. Control the toughest diseases with a dual mode of action fungicide that consistently outperforms the competition in field trials. Lucento fungicide from FMC works overtime for lasting control to help improve crop yields. Talk about getting the job done. Visit your FMC retailer or lucento.ag.fmc.com for hardworking control in your fields. Always read and follow all label directions.
Are you ready for better efficiency, more productivity, higher yields? Then you're ready for John Deere Precision Technology, which starts with three core pieces. First, a G5 display gives fast views of your work and a window to future technology. A Starfire receiver gives you sub-inch repeatable accuracy without an RTK base station. And a JD Link modem gives you a live view of your entire operation. Get precise and talk with your John Deere dealer or visit johndeere.com/Facebook.
Here at Ag PhD, we're always looking for ways to support the next generation in the ag industry. That's why at our free Ag PhD Scouting and Scholarships event on Saturday, June 29th, we're giving away more than 100 college scholarships. Join us as we head into the field for hands-on sessions covering everything from how to pull soil and tissue samples, ways to improve crop health, the importance of microbiology in farming, and much more. Plus, in our comprehensive guide to crop scouting, we'll explore both above and below ground in a variety of crops as we diagnose problems with insects, weeds, diseases, and anything else we may find. As we're giving away tens of thousands of dollars in scholarships to eligible attendees, this day is geared more towards students and young farmers, but anyone with a desire to learn more about agronomy is more than welcome. So whether you're a college student or just want good agronomy information, this is one event you won't want to miss. Come to the Ag PhD Scouting and Scholarships Day, Saturday, June 29th on the Hefty Farm near Baltic, South Dakota. Learn more and register at agphd.com.
It's smart to make the right agronomic choices, and it's even smarter to get rewarded for them. With the Bayer Plus Rewards program, you earn cash back on seed, herbicides, and other eligible products. And it keeps getting smarter, because now you can earn an additional 10% bonus when you send your redemption check to your retailer. To learn more, contact your retailer today. Protect your yields and get the most from your land with Bayer Plus Rewards. Visit mybayerplus.com and see program terms and conditions for full details.
Because the challenges you face are getting bigger every year, BASF is committed to helping with more than boots on the ground. We're committed to boots in the mud, boots on the steps of your truck, your tractor, your combine, the linoleum tiles of your coffee shop, the concrete of your co-op, the gravel in your shed. So we can listen, learn firsthand, help right now to ensure success. BASF, helping you do the biggest job on earth.
You're listening to Ag PhD Radio. Thanks for joining us. We've been talking about soybean fungicides and insecticides on today's show, and real happy to have Camille Lambert with us right now with FMC to talk about that. How you doing, Camille?
I'm doing good. How are you today?
I'm doing well, especially because as we talk about fungicides and insecticides, we've had some new tools over the last few years that are making a difference. And one of them, I'm going to put you on the spot right away. We've really liked Xyway on corn. What have you seen with the initial work done on soybeans? Is it worth taking a look at if you get a bad frog eye problem or some of the other tough diseases in soybeans?
Well, I'm so glad you put me on the spot because FMC has kind of dubbed me the Xyway queen. So I'm the perfect person to ask this question to. So the last two growing seasons have really been interesting, especially trying to launch a new fungicide in a new crop, because we've had limited disease pressure. I don't know what you guys have seen up in your area, but I'm in Kentucky and Tennessee, and extremely low disease pressure. But overall, I think it's a must try on your farm. So based off of the trials that I gathered last year in 2023, seeing around 4 bushels, which when we can hold $14 soybeans, it's pretty easy to get that return. You know, it's a little bit harder right now, but I do think that it's a really promising option, especially if your soybean planter is already equipped to run liquid. The use rate is the same as corn, so I think it's a really exciting product to definitely try on your acres.
One thing that's playing into that and playing right into your hands too as the Xyway queen is just early planting. We're seeing a lot of growers on soybeans that want to plant a week earlier, 2 weeks earlier. They're kind of pushing it on how early is early for soybeans. Having an additional fungicide out there is sure a potential helper.
Absolutely. So just like corn, the leaf spot diseases are going to be our targets. So frog eye leaf spot, target spot's a newer one that we've been talking about, septoria, that's usually in the lower canopy. Those are all going to be covered diseases. Charcoal rot is another one that we've seen really good efficacy with. We've seen some levels of suppression of sudden death syndrome. I think it will depend on how quickly we can get root uptake, which is a major talking point for me on soybeans. So unlike corn that has a fibrous root system, corn has that taproot that goes straight down. So when we think about placement of an at plant fungicide like Xyway, our goal is to get root uptake. So a system maybe like Precision Planting's Conceal, it's almost 3 inches away. You have to think about the root structure. And so you might not get the root uptake as quickly as if maybe you just dribbled it on top of the soil surface. We get a rain, we wash it down into that root zone, and you're good to go. So currently, based on the data that we've collected, I think we can keep it pretty simple.
Excellent. Excellent. Okay, let's dive into just some of the foliar applications. And one of the comments that we've had on foliar fungicides, and we get this every time we talk about it, is somebody will send in, you know, I've tried that before and had a lot of green stems at harvest. Talk to us about Lucento. You've got an alternative for the guy that wants to get away from the strobilurins.
We absolutely do. So Lucento has the same active ingredient that's in Xyway, flutriafol, and that's paired with an SDHI, bixafen. And in the presence of disease, it's honestly really hard to beat. It is phenomenal on frog eye leaf spot. It's got a low use rate of 5 ounces, and it's been a really consistent product for us.
On the insect front, we've had really good luck on our farm just with Hero and Mustang Max, the pyrethroids or combinations of pyrethroid products. They've worked well, but I know you've got some new products out there like Steward, for example, and others. Are you using any of those in soybeans? Are they targeting other crops? What have you got for guidance there?
Sure. So Steward kind of targeting more towards alfalfa. Really, my favorite go-to on soybeans is Hero still. Where we are, we get a tremendous amount of stink bug pressure, and we really haven't been able to get the job done with some of these lower-cost products. So with Hero, you've got two modes of action. You've got bifenthrin, and you've got zeta-cypermethrin. So the zeta-cypermethrin is going to give you that faster knockdown, fast kill, and then the bifenthrin gives you an excellent amount of residual, and really the length of the residual with the bifenthrin is hard to beat in soybeans. We have a premium product called Elevest, so that would be comparative to a Besiege product. So we've got the diamide that's in there, and it's paired with bifenthrin, which all the data shows that bifenthrin is the premier stink bug material. So if you've got stink bugs, that's your problem. That's where I would point you. The premium product would only be really if you've got worm problems, or maybe we get a really dry year like a couple of years ago and we get a grasshopper outbreak, which Elevest is going to shine in.
Yeah, you just never know from year to year. It depends on what the weather is doing. Depends on what your neighbor's crops are, past spray history and these types of things. There's just a lot of talking points there to pick the right product, to get the right time. You just have to keep scouting. I know with disease, you can plan ahead, but with insects, it just seems like it's got to keep walking those fields, looking at satellite imagery, whatever it is.
You have to. Going back really quick to Xyway, one thing I do want to mention, since you talked about early planted soybeans, it is still early. The opportunity to run some nitrogen or some other fertility on these early planted soybeans, pair it with a fungicide, maybe to overcome some of those challenges that we face with early beans, getting them out of the ground maybe a little bit faster, letting them overcome some of these early diseases that we tend to face. I'm extremely excited about it for this year.
Yeah, I am too. And if we can get those plants off to a good start, it definitely makes a difference and gives you more tolerance for the stresses that we know are going to come and hopefully more potential for yield. If you can get a bigger, healthier plant by the time we get to those long days in the middle of the summer. I've been talking with Camille Lambert here, the self-proclaimed Xyway queen of FMC. I'm going to keep teasing you about that, but no, we really have had great luck with that product and had a fun time talking with you today, Camille. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Have a good rest of your day.
You too. Going to dive back into the Ag PhD mailbag now. Had a question come in from Jeff down in Kansas. He said, I've got a new stand of non-Roundup Ready alfalfa that's about 4 inches tall now, and I've got some grasses coming in it. I'm wondering what herbicide I can spray on it. Hey, a couple things here, Jeff. First of all, as I'm getting Brian pulled up here too, so non-Roundup Ready alfalfa, 4 inches tall. It's got some grass in there. You got a few choices of products you can spray, but I want to just take one step back, Jeff, because chances are at some point you're going to seed alfalfa again. If you can use Eptam pre-emerge, you aren't going to be fighting these early season weed problems. That's a fantastic grass herbicide and also does a nice job on small seeded broadleaves. I would strongly recommend that you do that the next time you seed alfalfa. But grass is easier to pick up than broadleaves in alfalfa, so we've got a few options. And I'm going to throw this by you, Brian. I wonder if you would try Raptor at this point, thinking I might get the grass, I'm going to do okay on that, and if there's broadleaves, I could get them. Or would you just say, you know what, take Raptor and mix clethodim with it right off the bat. You'll do an amazing job on the grass, and you might pick up some broadleaves too. That would be probably what I would lean to, is Raptor plus clethodim. How about you?
Well, I just for sure am throwing clethodim in there. I don't care so much about what else I'm doing, because he said grass is the number one thing. So whatever else you want to do, fine. You have very few choices. Basically, you have Buctrol, Raptor, and Butyrac. That's it. So take your pick, whatever broadleaf product you want, throw the clethodim in, grass is done, you're in good shape.
All right. Next question comes from Steve. He said, I'm down in Tennessee, not a farmer, but I've got food plots for wildlife. I want to keep them clean, but I've got sickle pod in Roundup Ready corn and soybeans. It just keeps coming back on me later. I'm using mainly glyphosate, putting a little bit of metolachlor in and a little bit of atrazine in there too, but I want something else that could maybe hold it more or give me some more choices. Also, I don't have that many acres. I've got about 8 acres of corn, so I can't use a lot of the low use rate products because a jug would literally last me a lifetime. You know, one thing I was thinking about for Steve is you can use traded corn and soybeans. Like, for example, you could use Extend Flex soybeans and you could spray dicamba on either of those two crops, or you could use PowerCore Enlist corn and then you could use Enlist soybeans and you'd have Enlist One that you could add into that rotation. For pre's, I would consider maybe adding Python in. That seems to provide some decent help on sickle pod, and you could use that in both crops. Like, for example, Triple Flex would be a combination product. The use rate's 1¾ pints, so you'd use up a jug or almost entirely in that very first year. So it might be something that you think about there too. I would just, you know, when you're looking at food plots, I would try to make it as easy as you can. Utilize these traits as much as possible. It gives you more options of things you can spray. Then, of course, you could plant earlier, plant a little bit thicker, do the things that you can to get a thicker crop canopy early to help choke out weeds as well. Thanks for listening to our show today. Be sure to join us again each weekday for more Ag PhD Radio.